Let us commence our services today by singing together hymn 1127. The tune is Barnstable 294. When Zion's sons, great God, appear in Zion's courts for praise and prayer, there in thy spirit deign to be as one with those who worship thee. Hymn 1127. Read together from the Holy Word of God in the book of Deuteronomy and chapter 33. Deuteronomy chapter 33. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints from from his right hand went a fiery law for them. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words. Moses commanded us a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. And he was king in Jeshurun, when the heads of the people and the tribes of Israel were gathered together. Let Reuben live and not die, and let not his men be few. And this is the blessing of Judah. And he said, Hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him, and be thou an help to him from his enemies. And of Levi he said, Let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massah, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah, who said unto his father and to his mother, I have not seen him, neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor knew his own children, for they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. They shall teach Jacob thy judgments, and Israel thy law. They shall put incense before thee, and whole burnt sacrifice upon thine altar. Bless, Lord, his substance, and accept the work of his hands. Smite through the loins of them that rise against him, and of them that hate him, that they rise not again. And of Benjamin he said, The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. And of Joseph he said, Blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, and for the deep that counteth beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth, and the fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. Let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph, and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. His glory is like the firstling of his bullock, and his horns are like the horns of unicorns. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth. And they are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. And of Zebulun he said, Rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out, and Issachar in thy tents. They shall call the people unto the mountain. There they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness, for they shall suck of the abundance of the seas, and of treasures hid in the sand. And of Gad he said, Blessed be he that enlargeth Gad. He dwelleth as a lion, and teareth the arm with the crown of the head. And he provided the first part for himself, because there in a portion of the lawgiver was he seated. And he came with the heads of the people. He executed the justice of the Lord and his judgments with Israel. And of Dan he said, Dan is a lion's whelp. He shall leap from Bashan. And of Naphtali he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favour and full with the blessing of the Lord, possess thou the west and the south. And of Asher he said, that Asher be blessed with children, let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. May the Lord bless the reading of his own precious word, and grant unto us a spirit of real prayer. Gracious, merciful, almighty and eternal God, the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, O thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth, we humbly beseech thee this day. Let thy word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, and give us that grace to worship thee in spirit and in truth, and grant that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit may rest and abide upon us. We pray, most gracious Lord, that thou wouldst enlighten us as we read in thy word, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. And that is our desire as we gather round the word of God today, that it may not be just a dead round of service, but that we may be favoured to truly worship thee, that we may feel something of thy divine majesty, holiness and righteousness, that we may tremble and rejoice, that we may see, O Lord, something of the glory of the curse removed through our Lord Jesus Christ, and that glorious mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Lead us by thy blessed Spirit into these things. None come except the Father draw, and no man can say that Jesus Christ is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. O Lord, we do beseech thee, for thy great name's sake, come and bless us. Open the deaf ears and the blind eyes, cause the dumb to speak and the lame to walk. Lord Jesus, thou art that same glorious Saviour as when thou didst walk here below, infinite in thy power and thy wisdom and thy grace. And we pray that we might feel that power this day, the power of thy love, the love of a heavenly Father, known and experienced in his Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, we do bless thee for that glorious love of our Lord Jesus Christ. We do seek that we may know those sweet drawings as we gather round the word, to be drawn unto Jesus Christ. Know the enlightening and the power and the influence and the unction of the Holy Spirit. We pray, dear Lord, as we gather week by week, that thy rich blessing may rest upon us. We pray for thy servants expected among us in the coming 2 weeks, that thou wouldst graciously help them, grant that they may dip their foot in oil and be made acceptable unto the brethren, and the word preached may be in power, in the Holy Ghost, and with much assurance. We do humbly beseech of thee. We pray, most gracious Lord, thy blessing upon our brethren, the deacons, that they may be blessed of thee with wisdom and help and guidance and direction. Lord, we pray for our dear brother at Tunbridge Wells this morning, and seek that thou wouldst guide and help him. And thy servant there, Lord, may he know that divine anointing of the Spirit. And we pray, most gracious Lord, for each one of thy servants as they labour in word and doctrine upon the walls of Zion. Set them free. Set them at liberty. O Lord, we do beseech thee for thy great name's sake. We do pray, dear Lord, thy blessing, that it may rest upon thy Zion again, that thou wouldst return to Jerusalem with mercies. Grant mighty signs and wonders to follow the preaching of the word. Bring our sons from far and our daughters from the ends of the earth. And as thou hast promised, I will bring them from the north and from the south, from the east and from the west. Great God, we pray that we may see thy goings and thy power and thy glory in the sanctuary, as thou usest to be in the sanctuary. May the Lord Jesus Christ be exalted as a prince and as a saviour, for to give faith and repentance and remission of sins. May grace triumphant reign in our assemblies. We pray for each one of our brethren and our sisters in Christ, that thy blessing, thy favour may rest upon each one. Draw us together under a deeper sense of that spiritual love and union and communion that we are blessed with. And we do thank thee for that spiritual union and communion that we know and experience here as a church, as a congregation. Lord, this all flows from thy sovereign mercy, from thy loving kindnesses. We thank thee for our friends here from Holland. We pray that thou wouldst bless and be with them, and to them it may be a time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Be with them at all times, O Lord, we do pray thee. Defend them from the power and the influence of Satan, his temptations, and an evil heart of unbelief. And Lord, each one of us needs that done for us day by day. We pray, dear Lord, thy blessing to rest upon Ellie and Pete as they go forth in life together. We lovingly commend them to thee and to the word of thy grace. We pray, dear Lord, thy blessing upon the little ones and the children as they're brought into the sanctuary. The blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. Bless, Lord, the dear young friends. Guide and direct them in all matters. Graciously quicken their souls into life. Supply all their needs in life's journey. Lord, be with each one in the midst of the journey of life, and we pray to be delivered from the temptations of the wicked one, sometimes as an angel of light to deceive us, and sometimes as a roaring lion to frighten us. We have not the skill or the wisdom to stand against the wiles of the enemy. But thou hast promised in thy word that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. We pray to be made more spiritually minded, our heart and our affections set upon things above. We pray, dear Lord, for those in affliction's pathway, some bearing constant pain, and we pray that Thou would send relief and bless the means in their cases, that they may know some relief. We do beseech Thee. But above all, Lord, bless us with that glory and light of the gospel in our souls, to know Thee and to serve Thee and to follow Thee in our day and in our generation. We pray for those in the evening time of life's journey, its attendant weaknesses, infirmities. And we pray that as the outward man perisheth, the inward man may be renewed day by day. O Lord, we do beseech Thee to so bless us for Thy great name's sake. We pray, dear Lord, for the glory and power and light of the gospel to shine into this village and the surrounding villages and hamlets, that we may see Thy work and Thy power in the gospel, in converting sinners unto Thee, in gathering in precious souls, in bringing our sons from far and our daughters from the ends of the earth. Lord, there is nothing too hard for Thee. O send now prosperity, O Lord, we do beseech Thee. We pray, dear Lord, Thy blessing upon the churches of God, upon our little group of churches, and the various charities to which we affiliate. We pray for the secretaries of the societies and the editors of the magazines, that grace and wisdom and help may be given in all the responsibilities that devolve upon them. We pray for grace to bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfilling the law of Christ. We seek Thy blessing upon our nation, upon our Queen and consort and the royal household, the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. We seek for them. Give wisdom and understanding to our leaders. Grant, Lord, that we may be successfully extricated from the European Union, that we may see Thy wonderful mercy in this. Let God arise. Let His enemies be scattered. O Lord, we do beseech of Thee. Bless those in other nations who suffer persecution, torment, imprisonment and death for the name and for the witness of Jesus Christ. In those places where Thy name is hated, Lord, send them help from the sanctuary. Strengthen them out of Zion, we do humbly beseech of Thee. O Lord, we do thank Thee for all Thy wonderful mercies and loving kindnesses. They are new every morning, and great is Thy faithfulness. We do thank Thee for the wonderful glory of our precious Redeemer, the love of our Heavenly Father, the wonderful light and life and power of the Holy Ghost. O Lord, we would worship Thee. We would hear Thy voice. We would see Thy countenance. We ask all with the forgiveness of all our sins, and pray that Thou wouldst come and touch one's lips with a live coal from off the heavenly altar. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Let us now sing together hymn number 594 to the tune St. Benedict 885. O my soul, with wonder tell, Jesus has done all things well, and through His atoning blood I've a settled peace with God. Hymn 594. greatly feeling to need the Lord's gracious help, I would direct your attention to the chapter that we read, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33, reading verses 24 and 25 for our text. Deuteronomy 33, verses 24 and 25. And of Asher, he said, "Let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be." We have some very wonderful things in this chapter spoken to Israel. And of course, not only to Israel, that is the literal Israel, but the spiritual Israel of God today, the Lord's chosen people, whom he has quickened into life and brought them to know themselves as poor sinners and brought them to hope in that precious mercy that is in Christ Jesus. They are included in these sacred promises that are given unto Israel. Over the years, in one's own personal experience, this chapter has been made very sweet and very sacred when we've experienced the promises that are written in here. I shall never forget an occasion when verse 27 was breathed into my very soul. I felt the living power of it. In a time of great affliction, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. The eternal God, the almighty God, he that ever liveth, as the apostle puts it, underneath of every child of God. That's what I mean by saying that these promises are to Israel, not just the literal Israel, but to the spiritual Israel, the true Christian church today. They are of the seed of Abraham through Christ. And the Lord blesses them as such. And he speaks these wonderful words to them. The eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath, what I proved, friends, when these words were spoken to me, I was in a very, what we would say, a sinking condition. I felt as though I was just sinking and sinking and sinking in my own feelings, in my own heart. And when the Lord breathed these words into my heart, and I fell into those everlasting arms, you know, we do not feel the support of those everlasting arms until we come into a time of great trouble, great trial, great perplexity, when the enemy comes in like a flood. And it's then that we experience those everlasting arms have always been there. You take it on a cloudy day when the clouds are very thick and you can't see the sun. Does it mean there's no sun there? Of course it doesn't. The sun is there. It's hidden behind the clouds. But it's still there. And it's the same with those everlasting arms. Even when you don't actually feel them, they're there. You can never fall beneath them. They're always there. The eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. And you know, friends, and I remember when I was brought into gospel liberty, and verse 23 was made especially good to me. And of Naphtali, he said, "O Naphtali, satisfied with favour and full with the blessing of the Lord." Friends, when you come into the experience of that, you feel so full of the Lord's blessing. Just like David, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And so the Lord's living family, they know these promises by sweet experience in their own souls. They prove that this eternal God is their refuge, and that underneath are the everlasting arms. You know, we just to look at the context a little here, in the last chapter, chapter 34, we read of Moses, the servant of the Lord. And it says in verse 5, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died, and his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. We read the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, the law came by Moses. Grace and truth cometh by Jesus Christ. The law can never take you to heaven. The law can never make a new and living way into the holy place. The law can never reconcile you unto God. And we see this in these scriptures, that Moses was 120 years old. That's quite remarkable, isn't it? Think of Moses in that remarkable life of Moses. On the brink of the river in Egypt, that little babe crying in that ark of reeds, and Pharaoh's daughter hearing the cry of that little babe. Moses means to be drawn out of water. And then the wonderful providence of God in that this babe, she took it as her own. And the reason he was hidden is because Pharaoh was seeking to kill all the males of the Hebrew children. He hated them. He wanted to destroy them. But you see, the Lord wonderfully preserved him in the royal house. His nanny was his own mother. You see, my beloved friends, the wonderful providences of God. He spent 40 years in the house of Pharaoh. No doubt received a first-class education in Egypt, in the best places in Egypt. But the Lord was preparing him. When he was 40 years old, he then went to the backside of the desert for another 40 years. He looked after, as a shepherd, he looked after his father-in-law Jephthah's sheep in the land of Midian. And then the Lord wonderfully appears to him when he's 80 years old from the burning bush. He walked through the wilderness with the sheep, and there was a bush burning, but the bush itself was not consumed. And he was so taken with this. How is it that this bush is all on fire and yet all its leaves and all its branches were still there? And he turned aside to see what this was. And as he turned aside and stood before the bush, the Lord spoke to him, take thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou dwellest is holy ground. And the Lord, he gave him a divine commission. Go back into the land of Egypt and lead my children Israel out of the land of Egypt. You see, a divine commission. He led them for 40 whole years. 10 remarkable miracles were wrought, plagues came upon them by the God of heaven through the hand of Moses. And they eventually, Pharaoh let them go, and they went into the wilderness, and they laded them with gold and with silver. You see, oh, the wonderful working hand of God. Moses then led them 40 long years. He was 80 when he started. 40 long years in that waste, howling wilderness where no water is. and the murmurings of the children of Israel against Moses and against Aaron his brother. But the Lord maintained him. He proved what the blessing of Asher was: thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. But the point I want to come to is this. He couldn't take them over Jordan into the promised land of Canaan. You might say, why? Well, there's something typical here. Joshua, who was Moses' right-hand man, a man much younger than Moses, he was to lead them. Think of the name of Joshua. We've often explained it to you. It's exactly the same as Jesus, the Saviour. You might say, well, why is it a different name? Joshua is Hebrew. Jesus is Greek. And that's the only difference. It's exactly the same name. Joshua is a beautiful type of Christ. Moses is a beautiful type of the law, a solemn type of the law. It cannot take you into the promised land. It cannot wash away your sin. It will only curse you and damn you forever and ever. That's the holy, righteous law of God. Cursed is every man that doeth not all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. And Moses was 120 years old. And the remarkable thing here is this. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And let me tell you, my friends, today, this day in which we live, the eye of the holy law of God is not dim, nor is its natural force abated. There are those that teach erroneously that the law in Christ has been absolutely and completely eradicated and done away with. No, my beloved friends. What does Christ himself say? Listen to the words of Jesus. I come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. That's what Christ has done. He's fulfilled that holy, righteous law in every jot and every tittle. Joshua is a beautiful type of Christ. He takes the children of Israel over Jordan to possess the promised land. Christ, our heavenly Joshua, has made a new and a living way into the holy place. He has. There's a complete deliverance. There's a complete salvation in Jesus Christ, our heavenly Joshua. But that holy, righteous law, my beloved friends, it remains. His eye is not dim. His natural force is not abated. It still declares, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. It shall die. But let us come more closely to the words of our text. And of Asher, he said, let Asher be blessed with children. What a blessing to have, isn't it? Let Asher be blessed with children. You know, the fruit of the womb is from the Lord. It's from the Lord. It's a wonderful blessing when the Lord gives children. When the Lord gave Hannah Samuel. Samuel means the gift of God. And the Lord gave Hannah Samuel. And she gave Samuel to the Lord. We heard of it on Friday afternoon. And she consecrated him unto the Lord in the house of God at Shiloh. It was the Lord's gift. And then she went on to have many more children. It's a wonderful blessing, my beloved friends, to be given natural children. But I think there's a deeper meaning of the word here in what we have here. Asher shall be blessed with children. Even naturally, that is a wonderful blessing. And we read in Psalm 127, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. It's the Lord's reward. They come from God. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. It's a wonderful blessing, my beloved friends, to be given natural children. They come from the Lord. They come from the Lord. May we ever remember that. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. It says in the Psalm 128, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine, and by the sides of thy house thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed. Never despise a large family, my beloved friends. They're the gift of God. They're the gift of God. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. It's a wonderful blessing. But let us look at it in a spiritual sense of the word, this blessing of Asher. Asher shall be blessed with children. We read in Psalm 126, of course, it's a beautiful prophecy of Christ, but it also has a natural meaning to it as well. In verse 5, we read, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. Your children are your seed. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. We see Christ in it. We see Christ leaving the bosom of his Father, and given to him by the Father was the whole church. They were given by deed of gift by the Father unto the Son. The Father chose them from the ruins of the Adam fall, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. So he came forth from the bosom of the Father, bearing precious seed. Bearing precious seed, the church. It's what Christ had. And it says here, he shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. And so he will. He lived for, as a man here upon earth, the Son of God, lived as a man here on earth. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. You see, he that goeth forth and weepeth. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thee, but ye would not. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. When Christ comes a second time without sin unto salvation, the very first act of Christ is to send his angels to the four corners of the earth and to gather his elect unto himself. He will come with rejoicing. It says he will come with 10,000s of his saints and all his holy angels. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless. There's no doubt about this. Now I want to come to the church. It's the birthplace of the believer. In Solomon's song, the church is called the womb. It's called the mother. There's a bringing forth of spiritual children in the church. And there are mothers and fathers in Israel in the church. And what do? They labour. And they travail for souls. And that, though the primary meaning of that word is Christ, it also speaks to those in Zion that are labouring. They that sow in tears shall, no doubt about it, shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall. These are divine certainties, my beloved friends. There's no ifs or buts or maybes. They shall. And it seems to me as though there's a double emphasis. Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Asher shall be blessed with children. The wonderful thing. It is a divine promise, my beloved friends, unto the church of God. We have some wonderful promises to Mount Zion, to the church of the living God, that are found in the word of God. And we read in Isaiah chapter 54, that wonderful promise to Zion, to the church, to the bride of Christ. Fear not, verse 4, fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more, for thy Maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, that's Christ, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee, spoken to Zion, for the Lord hath called thee, as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, a wife of youth when thou wast refused, saith thy God. But the word I wanted to come to is found in verse 13. And this is the promise to Zion and all thy children. I'm not saying that the Lord cannot speak this in a personal way to a person concerning their own family. We wouldn't limit the Lord in that. But there are a lot of people that quote this text regarding their own family. It's a wonderful thing if the Lord has given you that promise. But this word is not to a personal family. This word is to Zion, the church of the living God. Thy Maker is thine husband, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. And Asher shall be blessed. Let Asher be blessed with children. We read again in the prophets. And yesterday my mind was much drawn. And it says in Micah chapter 4, a beautiful prophecy concerning Christ and the church. Verse 8, he says, "And thou, O tower of the flock," that's Christ. Christ is the tower of the flock. Christ is our mighty fortress. Christ is our refuge. "And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion, the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem." And then in verse 10, "Be in pain." This is the word to Zion. "Be in pain and labour to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon, and there shalt thou be delivered. There the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies." Wonderful blessings then are given to the church of God. And of Asher, he said, "Let Asher be blessed with children." Now, he says here, "Let him be acceptable to his brethren." Let him be acceptable to his brethren. How good. How good. Again, the sweet psalmist of Israel, under the divine teaching of the Spirit, and the inspiration of the Spirit, says in Psalm 133, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life evermore." The dew of heaven, the oil of grace. What a blessing, isn't it? What a blessing. Let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren. What a wonderful blessing, my beloved friends. And we've known it here at Lamberhurst, and it's a very sacred thing that we should covet and be very thankful for, and that is to dwell together in love, in union, in communion. It's a wonderful blessing from the Lord that he has given to us. May we nurture it. The apostle, when he writes to the Ephesians, and he speaks to them of endeavouring. I understand in the original Greek, that word endeavouring is an exceedingly strong word. Endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And this is some of the meaning of being acceptable to his brethren. Having a right spirit. If we do not have a right spirit, and then we'll become a prey to the enemy, and then we shall cause division between the brethren and sisters in Christ. My beloved friends, let us not do the work of the enemy, dividing, separating, causing enmity, but all that we may be among those that live in peace, in love, in harmony, in union, and each esteeming each other better than themselves to be. Let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. The oil of grace. The anointing of the Spirit. That's what oil represents. The oil of grace, the anointing of the Spirit. And in the prophecy of Zechariah, we are instructed in the prophecy of Zechariah at the building of the second temple. That is when, of course, Zechariah prophesied. And Zerubbabel was about to build the second temple. And he was greatly fearful regarding that building of the temple. And the Lord, in chapter 4 of Zechariah, he gave Zechariah a vision. A candlestick all of gold with a bowl upon the top of it. And his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof. And two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl and the other upon the left side thereof. And he said, "What are these, my Lord?" So we have two olive trees, oil constantly pouring fresh down through the golden pipes into the golden candlestick. The golden candlestick is the church of God. The two anointed ones, if you look at the last verse of Zechariah 4, it says, "These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth." One anointed one is Christ. The other anointed one is the Holy Ghost. And they stand beside the Father. And it's through them. What a beautiful picture of the church of God and the constant supply of living grace pouring from a heavenly Father through the Son by the Spirit, pouring that golden oil into the candlestick. And here we have Zerubbabel so fearful, a poor, weak and feeble people just returned from the Babylonian captivity, and then this tremendous task, building this vast temple unto the Lord into Jerusalem. And we rightly understand Zerubbabel feeling so fearful at such a great thing that had got to be done. And then Zerubbabel, Zechariah gives to Zerubbabel the meaning of the vision in verse 6. "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Everything is by the Spirit of God. It's never by your might, never by my might or power, but by the Spirit of the living God. We can accomplish nothing ourselves. All our fleshly labours, that is exactly what they are. And the fruit that they produce will be fleshly fruit. But this real, true spiritual labour. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. You know, we have to be taught this lesson. It's absolutely, entirely all of grace. God and Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, he had to prove this. He had to experience it. And the Lord's servants have to experience it. They have to experience it again and again. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And whatever's done, it's by grace. Whatever fruit is brought forth. You say, well, it can't be from me. I'm so poor and so needy. No, it's the Lord pouring in the oil of grace. Something is then accomplished. And then we will all say, grace, grace, grace unto it. All of grace, entirely of grace. You know, it's a wonderful thing when we read these things in Holy Scripture and we see what the Lord will do in his church, among his people here upon earth. Not by might, nor by power. Let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren. And let him dip his foot in oil. We've often pointed out to you, and it is very instructive to do so, that the anointing under the Old Testament, there were three offices that required anointing. And of course, that anointing under the Old Testament, in that dispensation, was what we call typical. It typified to do with Christ. To do with Christ. The king had to be anointed under the Levitical dispensation. He was anointed with oil. The prophet had to be anointed. He was anointed with oil for that office. The priest had to be anointed. He was anointed with oil for that office. Now, my beloved friends, all those three offices, prophet, priest, and king, are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Fulfilled in Jesus Christ. All the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And we read in Isaiah 61, and Christ reads these same words in the Nazareth, in the synagogue in Nazareth, when he went forth to minister the word of truth in his public ministry. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me. Let him dip his foot in oil. The Lord hath anointed me. And then he tells us, what he's anointed him for? To preach good tidings unto the meek. That's the anointing of the prophet, the preacher. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. That's the anointing of the priest of God. Christ is our great high priest. He's anointed to that office. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Now, to proclaim liberty to the captives. That's the king. The glorious King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who sets his people free, who has redeemed them from all sin, who has redeemed them from the curse of the law, who has satisfied all the demands of divine justice in that glorious sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. What opens the prison doors to a poor, guilty, wretched, hell-deserving sinner? The blood of Christ. It cleanses from all sin. The glorious everlasting righteousness of Christ. It clothes the poor sinner to stand in the presence of Almighty God. To open the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all that mourn. The acceptable year of the Lord is the coming of Christ. It's the holy life he lived, the holy law he fulfilled, the holy sacrifice he offered, satisfying all the demands of divine justice. Everything in that crucified Saviour, my beloved friends, that's where it all is. Now, we read also in Isaiah, what I wanted to point out is that in a lesser degree, we read that Christ was anointed by the Spirit without measure. So in a lesser, much lesser degree, each one of the Lord's servants is anointed to preach the gospel. It's a divine anointing. Now, as we look at it in Isaiah chapter 11, and it says there, and this is a prophecy of the coming of Christ, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. We've often explained to you what that is. A branch growing out of a root that has been cut down, it all looks dead, and then at the scent of water a branch springs up and springs out. And that is exactly what happened. You see, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, as David's father, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. That's Christ. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. Now, the whole of this chapter 11 is a prophecy concerning Christ and the effect of what Christ has done. But in a lesser degree, each one of the Lord's servants will know the divine anointing of the Spirit. Each one of the Lord's servants will be given the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. When the Lord opens up the Word of God to their heart and to their understanding, so that when they come in among the people, the Word of God is opened through the Lord's servant. There's a hearing of the Word of the Lord. You see, let him be acceptable to his brethren. Let him be acceptable to his brethren. Let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren. Let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. And as thy days, so shall thy strength be. A promise, isn't it? Thy shoes. It's a rough way. It's a wilderness way. It's like the children of Israel when they passed through that waste howling wilderness. The wonderful thing was they were 40 years in the wilderness, and you would have thought all their clothes would have worn out, and you would have thought all their shoes would have worn out, and yet we're told in Scripture they did not wear out. And their shoes did not wear out. It's clearly stated in the Word of God. It was a wonderful miracle wrought by what? God. Now, just as we see that wonderful miracle wrought by God for the children of Israel as they pass through that rough and rugged wilderness where no water is, so he gives a promise to you. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. They will not wear out. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. And as thy days, so shall thy strength be. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. I've often quoted it to you because it was a word the Lord spoke to me. And so I've had a living experience of it. The latter verses of the Isaiah 40. And he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might. Maybe that's how you feel. You feel so faint. You feel you've got no might. And he says, he giveth power to the faint. doesn't say he gives power to the strong, to the mighty. He gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. How does he do that? Day by day. Day by day. Sometimes hour by hour. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths. Now, we expect youths to be strong. Strong. Full of vigour. That's what we find in youth, isn't it? Naturally speaking. But in this pathway, this spiritual pathway, it is a difficult pathway. And it says, even in this, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But, what a wonderful but, isn't it? But they, this is the secret, my beloved friends, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. My mind was very much drawn to Jeremiah chapter 1. And in Jeremiah chapter 1, I was thinking of the Lord's servants, and they feel their weakness and they feel their insufficiency. And we read in verse 4, and Jeremiah was obviously very young. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God. We can understand his feeling. Absolutely we can. Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Now what did the Lord answer? Say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth and said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out. It's not an easy work, was it? These first things is to root out, to pull down, to destroy and to throw down. And then the last two, to build and to plant. You know, my beloved friends, poor Jeremiah, he deeply felt it. And we read in verse 17, thou therefore gird up thy loins. This is the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah. Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I be confounded. I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day, they're not pleasant words, a defence city, an iron pillar and brazen walls against the whole land. Jeremiah, the whole land will be against you. Against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, and against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to deliver thee. I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. And of course, the other excellent illustration we have of this word, thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be, is the dear apostle Paul. And in his journeys and in his great trials that he suffered, and how the Lord spoke to him in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we read there how the Lord promised him. He had great visions, he had great blessings. He says in verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that were given, that was given me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart. Perhaps that's what you're doing. You keep asking the Lord to take it away. I besought the Lord thrice. But you see, we don't read the Lord took away the messenger of Satan to buffet him. He gave him the sweetest of promises. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. You may be saying, I'm so weak, so insufficient. My strength, the strength of God, shall be made perfect in your weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. See, my beloved friends, the apostle was brought into subjection, into submission. And of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children, let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. May the Lord add his blessing. Let us now sing together hymn number 328 to the tune Hereford 871. Afflicted saint, to Christ draw near, thy Saviour's gracious promise hear. His faithful word declares to thee that as thy days, thy strength shall be. Hymn 328. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each. Amen.